We're delighted to be joined in the studio today by Rob O'Brien, the chairman, and Mick O'Shea, academy director from Barking FC. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for inviting us.
And Rob, a famous old club, the longest established football club in the borough, and possibly the oldest sports club in the borough as well. Trace all the way back to 1880, Barking.
Yes, it's got some history. The club's been on a bit of a downer for many years, but hopefully under our stewardship, we're going to look into a meteoric rise.
And well, they've been in their current form since 2007 when you transferred to the Essex Senior League. You took over as chairman in 2011. So how did that come to pass that you became chairman?
That's an interesting one. I was my background is coaching. I've done 8 years with the FA Skills team, national team. Met some fantastic people there. And I was still playing at Essex Olympian League after having a spell as a sort of senior player over at Barkingside. Had a few, as you do when you get older, you have a few real problems with your injuries and stuff. And I was in that period where I wasn't playing. And I got invited over by my son, and Mick's son was also playing for Barking Reserves after having a spell with Burnham. I'm sure Mick could fill us in about that. But they'd had three managers before Christmas in the Barking Reserves and said it's a sort of bit of a sham. Would I go over and do a session? So I'd done a couple of sessions. Chairman really liked me and sort of said, like, would I mind doing it to the end of the season? And I'm still there.
And you're still very much involved in, well, up until very recently, involved in the coaching setup, weren't you? You step back now, though.
Yeah, periodically I still frequent a few first team sessions, and we have a chat as a management team, and Golby and Steve Willis are kind of busy people, and they don't mind sort of relinquishing that responsibility back to me, and I enjoy it as well, so it's no problem.
Yeah, well, this is where we turn to Mick, who's a little bit of a famous face in around Brentwood, and certainly in the non-league scene. When did your involvement with the club start, Mick?
I lived over in Barton for 20-odd years, so I've always had a, in and around, having a look who's got what in the various league games. Covered quite a few clubs. I was reserve manager myself over at Burnham for a good couple of years, where I got access to some ex-Romford and some ex-Thurrock guys from my contacts down at Thurrock. I then went on to be chief scout down at Thurrock, which we're looking to loan some good players out, because obviously they're in the conference at the time. And speaking to the senior management at Barking at the time, and managed to have a word, and as Rob's already alluded to, my son Frankie and his son Ben were already over there in the reserves, and so if we get Rob involved with the reserves management ship because of his coaching ability with the FA etc, and I've worked for years with him anyway, trusted hand there. And when we started an academy, which we're still running today collectively, and Rob managed to get the chairmanship, the club invited us to run the academy, on a more day-to-day basis, which is now a full-blown scholarship programme full of education and university graduates and semi-professional footballers. And it's a great job. Managed the first team myself with Rob, and then put Colby and Steve Willis, the present managers, in. They're going to beat my third, the highest place the club had been for quite a few years. So there's a good bit of banter there, and I hope to God they do it. Because we'll be in the Ryman next year, hopefully, and fighting on all fronts and representing the club. But the lads have built an academy that's a Ryman status. Instead of going from me and Rob onto these conference and Ryman Prem club, so they'll be sitting nice and sweet at home, hopefully, and taking the club on to greater things.
Well, as you touched on there, you were manager until last season, along with Rob as first team coach.
That's correct.
And then you led the team to third place. It was a successful season, but ultimately lost out on promotion to Haringey. So a satisfying season, but probably ultimately for the two of you, a little bit of a disappointing season.
Oh, correct. Yeah, great.
Although what I would say was, to sort of quantify that really a little bit better, would be that every year since sort of my chairmanship, the club has made progression, not just in the first team, but as a collective there's so many more things that we're doing now that we couldn't able to do. I mean, take you back into sort of 2007-08, after the game, when the showers were working and the roof leaky roof wasn't dripping water on your head, we had sandwiches in the dressing room, and that was it. People dispersed. Now we've got a bar of 100 square metres. We've got facilities for food. We've got a proper licence, and we're just about to step into a longer term licence stroke lease with the local authority. That was one of my biggest challenges, to be fair, to build the rapport back with the club, with the council, so that we could move forward, because it was pretty stagnant. And back in 2006, I think it actually went bust, and a few local fans actually pulled it up and kept it going. And there's a few local people in football that you know, helped us, that were very kind to just keep the club going, and now we've gone on from strength to strength. Yeah.
And how did it feel to be in charge of Rob then, and at the same time Rob was ultimately in charge of the club at the same time?
I've never been in charge of Rob. No, no, not in charge of Rob. I was. We had an agreement. We're straight shooters. I said to Rob, I'd love to manage the first team on when Alan moved away. Big act to follow. He'd, you know, been 350 games for West Ham United, and in comes this bloke that quite a few people at the club didn't know. You know, I think he's more known over here and other clubs than Barking Football Club itself. Just had an agreement that I would make the final decision on match day selection, but without Rob's coaching ability, you know, and his network of people, then I wouldn't have been anywhere near as successful as we were.
And as you said, Rob, big reorganisation of the club, but why was it needed?
Well, actually, when I first got asked to become chairman, I declined. Jill and John Fairley had been fantastic to keep the clubs surviving. But when I asked him, what's the plan? Have you got a five-year plan? How can we develop the club and stuff? With the greatest will in the world, they didn't really have an idea of what they wanted to do. It was just about keeping your head above water. But I always felt that we needed a plan so that we could march forward. And that way, if you're marching forward, you're not going backwards. And I think we're actually into our second phase of our second five-year plan. It was obviously sort of 2011, as you alluded to, sort of we've seen our 5 years. It was a big test for us because the local authority, I gave them the five-year plan and we agreed it at the committee level, because I'd had some ideas and they invited me onto the committee. The club was only small, it was only sort of run by half a dozen people, so if you wasn't on the committee, you know, you were sent to Coventry, basically. But now we've got a committee of 10 strong, and everyone contributes in a real positive way in their own field. And I think that's the start of the basis of everyone knowing their job, how they contribute, how we communicate, and now we're just adding layers and layers and layers on and growing. I mean, the mini soccer is going to be fantastic. We started it this year, but it's going to be really strong next year. And our Eastern Junior Alliance teams are doing really well. And obviously, they feed naturally into the scholarship if they want it. And if they want a pathway in football, then there's first team and hopefully next year Ryman football available to them.
And part of that reorganisation saw the both of you take a step back from the first team and allow Glenn Golby and Steve Willis to take charge. And I know it was a lot of shock to a lot of people in the Essex Senior League scene, Mick, when you just, after your third place, and then suddenly Mick's gone.
There's a, you know, not a lot of people know all the in-depth reasons for that. It was quite simple. There was no secret agenda. You know, a lot of people have spoken to me at length about why it all happened. Was running the academy, getting a lot more interest in the academy. Oh, I'm an academy director over there. Would love the job, and we went on a fantastic opportunity to have some good lads day in day out. To be quite honest, the hours in the day weren't there. We were training first team on a Tuesday night, a Thursday night, competing quite competitively, as you say, up into third place. A lot of battles. I actually shook hands with Glenn and changed hands on the job at half time away at Bowers and Pitsey, because I'd spoken to him a couple of times. I played him in a final the year before over against Clapton as centre forward, right? And it's still a laugh today. We still have some banter about it. But there's a few people in the club were asking me, oh, don't do that. What are you putting him up there for? Just centre back all day. You know that old Golby. And he went on and scored, and he made my day, you know. And Willis, big old lump. He's got a great network of people. Steve, he knows a lot of people in football. Rob and I spoke, and to be quite frank, it's the right thing to do for the club. And we concentrate on doing the academy. We were very successful last year. We got to the national final, knocking out Dagenham and Redbridge, Hornchurch, Brentford, who'd never been beaten before, a couple of teams over at Bromley, and a great semi-final against Dover Athletic.
Teams, Mick,
they? All conference in a national league side. So, that, you know, we take a bit, obviously, underdog in all of those competitions, each and every match, but we managed to get. I've got great siege mentality over there. So that's what I love doing, and winding them up a little bit. But to get to the final, Wickham Wanderers against Kidderminster Harriers. Got beat 3-1. You know, fair play.
1-0 up.
Rob's got to nick that one. But, you know, three or four of those lads are now playing in their first team. James Hancock, you know, a few other boys up there. So it was a great test, you know, great test for our lads. And we strive to do that on a daily basis. But Golby and his experience now, he's managed to play for years and years, you know. Never been sent off in his life. Nice, calm head. I can't say the same for Steve. I think he's had a few reds. But got a great competitor. And those boys will get us up there. And, you know, what a quartet.
I think, Chris, just to summarise what Mick was saying there, the real reason was we was doing 14-hour days. Yeah. And whilst we love our football, it was becoming... And we're talking 7 days a week here because, you know, it's preparation, there's all these different things. We just found that it was... maybe was burning the candle at both ends. So I think we come to a common sense approach to say we're doing a real good job, but could we do a better job in the academy by handing the reins over to Glenn and Steve if they'd like to take it, and hopefully they can surge us on on a bigger and better basis. And I think it's proved it was a brave decision by us both, because obviously I relegated myself and Mick relegated, you know, we had a joint agreement, and it was a brave decision to make. And I think that's the way we've gone forward. We've made brave decisions to make the club better.
And well, Mick, tell us about that at the academy scheme then. It's a full one of these full college based schemes, isn't it, with the qualifications that the players
we work
get
along
as well.
So we've been running this nearly six seasons now. It's a full-time academy. It's education mixed with... it's a sixth-form college scheme. It's backed and funded by the government. BTEC Level 3, up to extended diploma, which is university access. Where quite a few guys go to university through the course. And obviously quite a few lads going on to high level of football and getting scouted. And we work along with Nike, with the FA... Obviously, we play in the National League on a Wednesday, although the clubs at this present moment in time in the Essex Senior League, we represent in the National Under-19s. And these lads are coming into me at 16 years of age and they're playing in an Under-19 league almost immediately. That's a hard call, so you have to get their confidence up. Got quite a few of these guys are county and district players when they arrive, but all of a sudden, the biological and chronological size of these guys at 2 or 3 years old are just at the end of the courses, after being trained 4 or 5 days a week for other clubs. It's a bit of a culture shock, and you have to pick them up, kick them up and sugar lump them a little bit. But there's some great talent over at the club. We've got 57 lads over there on a daily basis, and 12 apprentices also, you know, so... It's a big task. It's a great challenge. Some of these boys are rogues, lovable rogues, of course, all angels. Some of them are A-star students, love their football. As I said, we've got quite a few lads that go to university from there, been on the physiotherapy, sports journalism, and they don't realise the type of money. I'm sure you're aware of the type of money that's in the sports business, per se, on a global basis. These guys can become personal trainers through us, and they can get, £30-35 an hour, 30 hours a week, 42 and a half grand a year for doing something they really love doing at quite a young age. But, you know, it's they have to achieve. If they're behind on their academia through their own fault, then they're not kicking a ball. So that kind of, through that that round thing, we use that as an inspirational tool also. And you don't want to see guys with great potential waste that opportunity, waste that potential. So we do drive them a little bit. Quite a disciplined place. But we hold trials. I think the next trial we've got is during the half-term break. I'll plug that now, 15th of February. Give me a call. I'm sure that you'll give out our number at the end of the programme. And it's available on the Barking FC website likewise. But, yeah, it's a great fulfilling thing. And this is a shock to you guys. In the last five seasons, and with the help of Glenn and Steve now, we've had over 600 appearances in the Essex Senior League from the academy. We've got a true footballing pathway. And quite a lot of senior clubs in and above us haven't got that. They've got some academies, but you know what? The first team managers and reserve managers look the other way, and quite a few chairmen do likewise. I'm sure you can, you know, concur with what I'm saying there. So the youngest lad in the club, Ricky Tabard, is the Players' Player of the Year last season. He's an academy apprentice. Lad who's playing for Brentwood Town now, Luke Foster, over 120 appearances. You know, at senior level already. They're only 19, 20-year-old lads. So if they're good at their football and they're really dedicated, they can get on.
So from your point of view, I mean, I call the club a famous old club in the introduction. Some big names have played for the club in the past. We're expecting big names then in the future to have been associated with Barking.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. There's a lot of pro clubs that we have. West Ham come over, and we've got a lad over with us at the moment from over in Ajax, you know. Playing in the National League, to West Ham scouts, just jump up with, you know. We've been sent over to look at this lad particularly. I won't give his name away because he's still with us at the moment. But Manchester United, Stevie from down there, they're there every game. We've got scouts at every one of our academy games now because we managed to be in the final of the under-19s. We weren't even, you know, what's an Essex senior side doing, you know, with an academy that's capable of playing in the highest level in the country? We must be doing something right.
I think to underline it is we got approached by Arsenal. And I went up to Howland. Mick introduced us to, and Martin Taylor come down, one of their chief scouts, and he said that we'd like to keep tabs on Barking and maybe set up a development centre in the near future. Be honest, if you've ever been to any Premiership facility, it's absolutely mint, top class. And you know, we've got a long way to go to get to that standard, and I wouldn't really want to embarrass anyone by saying, yeah, we can have an Arsenal development situation there, right here, right now. But it's something we could work to. It's something that we've got a community coaching that the apprentices hold, overseen by me and Mick, and we have, you know, 30, 40 lads every Saturday, Monday, Thursday, that type of thing, come in and train and play and have some fun. I think it really is important that you create the right environment. And we're taking kids off the street, giving them a direction, bit of respect, and exercise, and healthy and well-being. And if I can just add that, as part of that, I got invited to the local authority meeting about obesity, and Barking and Newham were bottom of the national table for inactivity. And I felt we had a duty of care to our local community. Yeah. So we set up these programs, and now we've been approached, and we've myself, Mick, and the five other apprentices have become community health champions, and we've had training on various things all the way from sort of stop smoking to healthy living to directing people to sort of a route to cancer and all that type of thing. So we're becoming a soft front end for the medical profession and trying to do a good service within the local community. I think it's a really good thing to do.
And I will just mention the smattering of those names because, of course, David Gold came through the club, who's now the chairman at West Ham. John Steele, of course,
John's a big name
in the non-league scene. And then the biggest, of course, is Bobby Moore.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pops, as they called him, Bobby's dad, was actually on the committee. I think Bobby had one game in the A-team, but then quite quickly West Ham sort of ended up signing him. So, yeah, it's a nice association to have. Certainly, Darren Modwell, who's the leader of the local authority, is keen to memorialise Bobby's achievements and we want to contribute to that as well, because we've got a good linkage there, because Bobby, Pops and the club are all part of the centre focus of the community.
Well, we've talked about the bright past for the club. We're talking, oh, Mick, you've got more.
I just wanted to mention David Gold. We were really fortunate. One of our old tutors, Becky Merritt, who worked for our educational partner, who's SCL, better give them a mention or they'll be screaming at me. She managed to arrange for a contact. She was the captain of the West Ham ladies at the time, and David Gold came down to see us, and it's nice car he's got, photo opportunity, so he stuck it next to the minibus and had a little photograph, as you do. But he was meant to come for about 25-30 minutes to see the lads. Stayed nearly 2 hours, a fella, talking to the 60 lads we had at the time, and they're asking him, why did you sell Birmingham City and buy West Ham, and who's your best manager? And it was Barry Fryer. He took him to a division he'd never been before. Doesn't want to go again, I don't think, either. But it was fantastic on the day. And he was saying, from adversity, himself and his family and how he did his business. And we've got, the type of lads we've got at our place. It's the biggest council estate in Europe. And we've got something like 23 different nationalities at the academy as well. So it is a truly
diverse.
We've got 13 or 14 Portuguese lads, and they love their football, and they're quite talented as well. I'm sure they'd like us to mention them. But there's guys from all over the place, the landscape of Barking, and it's growing each year, which is great.
Mick, you've got to tell that story. I'll just chip in there. One of the lads was, who's your best manager? Bear in mind, Sam. He said, Barry Fry. He said, why is that? He said, in the interview, he said, I'll definitely get you out of this league. He said, he did. He got us relegated.
Rob's a West Ham fan, so I'm glad he told you that one.
I enjoyed that one.
So we talked about the bright past, the bright future as well, and the present's looking pretty good as well. You've got to be happy with this season, Rob. But top of the table with games in hand on your rival.
Yeah, I am pleased. Me, Glenn and Steve spoke around the Christmas time. We sort of said, listen, ironically, we felt we've kind of let ourselves down. But if at the beginning of the season, this is like in season, so why it's really happening, we said, let's be fair, at the beginning of the season, if we were in this situation, you'd grab it with both hands. So, obviously... We have got a good squad. We are playing well. There is a good vibe in the social corner of football. It's really important, and we have sort of achieved that there. It's a most unquantifiable thing that you can achieve in football, is to get that social mix. Certainly, I had it as a player. I played under Craig Edwards and Glenn Templin, who have now kind of hooked up with Billericay, and I know them really well. And wish them good luck in the future. But it's something that is, you train physically, you work technically, you make good decisions, but the social corner is always forgotten. And I think that can be one of the biggest things that you can really make you a success. And I think we've got that mix. Going forward, I hope we can maintain a degree of similar performance. And if we do, hopefully we can. Our next biggest league game is, against one of our biggest rivals, FC Romania. So that will be a really big test to us. I think that will be the litmus test for us. If we can get some points there, then hopefully we can go on and achieve something. And we've got an archivist at the club, Derek Pedder. And I asked Derek, I said, has Barking ever actually been promoted from a kind of natural progression? Because they've kind of flitted about in different leagues, when the Athenian League and all these type of different things, and then when the Isthmian League got chopped up into regional areas. But I think this might be the first time that Barking has ever truly got promoted. So that will be a fantastic achievement in the 137 years, and we've done it this season, so that'll be great.
And you obviously believe the club's ready for that Isthmian League football. You've one of the clubs who have applied for promotion from the ESL.
Yeah, we applied. People were wondering, were we going to? And there was a lot of rumour mill that we weren't actually going to apply. We actually got the ground grading 2 to 3 years ago. Roger Reed come down from the Isthmian League, the FA, and sort of gave us the big tick in the box. And to be fair, we've only improved things since then. So I think we're definitely up and ready. You know, we've been very conscious of the requirements and made sure that we've got everything in place. And to be fair, even the playing surface has improved. I know that if there's some people going back into the 70s and 80s that talk to me about Barking's Dust Bowl at the end of the season, I think we've come a long way from there. And to be fair, we've decided to do it ourselves now. We actually bought a triple mower, and myself, Mick and the apprentices all get on there every day and try and keep it as best playing surface, and hopefully it reflects in the results. The lads enjoy playing on there. We've actually got a team that ground share, West Essex, and they've been very sort of happy with what we've done so far. So, all ends up, it is been a fantastic ride. It's been hard work, no question about it. If someone thinks they can just rock up and change a football club overnight, need to think again. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of hours invested, by me and Mick and other people. But listen, when you love football as much as I do, and I know Mick does, kicking the ball in the reflection of Upton Park, because I'm an East Ham boy, and listen to the crowd roar when you score a goal, there's no great feeling about it. There weren't many cars on the road then, either, so it was quite easy.
Well,
to
last time West Ham scored.
Last time I scored.
All that, we haven't even mentioned the ground, so you're at Maysbrook Park.
Yeah, down at Lodge Avenue. Yeah.
And if people want to find out more about the club, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on
you've got
the website as well.
Yeah, we're pretty active on the social network. We've got some good people at the club that run that for us, Terry and Trevor. And we are using that better and better. I think, to be fair, it's passed me by a little bit, but there's some good people in the club, and we're learning all the time, Mick, aren't we?
Yeah, Barking Academy's got their own Facebook page. Look at Barking Academy and follow it on there. Mm. All the trial dates, etc., on there. Just got to get ourselves over the line now with regard to the first team, which I'm confident will happen with Glenn and Steve at the wheel there. We can't get complacent. That's the thing that we're, few games under our belt between us. We're not going to allow that to happen within the club. They'll get over the line, as Rob said. They'll have a great night, and that social corner will be expanded for a few extra hours, I'm quite sure, down the club. And we always look forward.